Amen. You may have a seat. Well, hey, once again, welcome to Harvest Community Church. I am so glad you're here. My name is Andrew Pierce. I love it, but I would love to get to know you and all the kiddos in the room. So I'm going to say my name again. I'm going to say, what's your name? And I'm going to count down 3, 2, 1, and then just tell me your name, and I'm going to understand all of it. My name is Andrew. What's your name? 3, 2, 1. Sup, Corbin? Beautiful. And the rest of you, it's locked in. Just don't ask me about it afterwards. But I want to tell you a bit more about myself. The way that I am made and all of that, I have a superpower. My superpower is that I can sprain my ankles really, really easily. It is quite impressive, actually, how weak my ankles are. Pretty awesome. I played sports all throughout high school, and I've tried to in my adult life, and just it's ankle sprain city every time. I've sprained my ankles walking on the sidewalk. There was one time in the past year, I sat down on the couch weird, and I sprained my ankle. Like it is ridiculous. So knowing this, and because my wife is incredibly smart and wants to protect me and my ankles and that I can walk for the rest of my life, there was one time where a student of mine a couple years ago invited me and a few of our other adult leaders to a 3v3 basketball tournament. And they were like, hey, come, it'll be fun. I was like, okay, sweet. By the way, at this tournament, we were the only people without the word teen in our age. It wasn't even close. And so it was us and a bunch of teenagers. It was awesome. But we were playing. And before I left, Megan was like, hey, you're playing basketball. You should wear your ankle braces. This is one ankle brace. This is not two. This is one ankle brace that I need. This is how bad my ankles are. And they're like, hey, you should bring your ankle brace. I was like, yeah. She's like, seriously? You need to bring your ankle brace. I'm like, okay, fine, okay, I will. So I did. I did technically bring them. I put them in my backpack, and I got to where I was going. I got to the gym, and my buddy was with me. I was like, dude, I brought my ankle brace. I think I'm just going to try the first game, see how it goes, and like if I need it, then I'll put it on. It's fine. And he was like, you're cool, dude, but your wife told you. I was like, I know. It'll be my fault. Megan wasn't there for the first game. I played, and it went great. We won. It was awesome. Second game, also fine. We won. It was awesome. Our third game, we played what I believe to be three of some future NBA starting lineup. These were the tallest and fastest and most incredible teenagers at basketball that I've ever seen in my life. And for you basketball players out there, my ankles got absolutely snatched from me. There was this crossover I never saw coming. I tripped on his ankle, and I mean, my foot was perpendicular, parallel to the floor, no clue. It hurt so bad, and so I hobbled off the floor. I got subbed out for somebody else, and I look over, because Megan was there for that game. So I look over, and she's just, I mean, I'm like, I know. So then I put on my ankle brace, and we played the rest of the tournament. We got third place. Love it. So cool. But Megan told me, hey, put on your ankle brace, and I didn't. And I got real hurt. Still played, but it did not feel good by any means. I didn't properly equip myself with what was available to me, and I got hurt. And I know not everyone in here plays basketball, but we all do live here. We live in this world. And spiritually speaking, this world is not neutral ground. When it comes to spiritual warfare, this world is not neutral ground. And so today, we'll be in Ephesians 6. And so Paul has been, in the verses before our text today, he was talking about that there's a very real spiritual enemy and a very real spiritual battle and a very real need for us to be equipped for this battle. Because I didn't equip myself well, I wasn't prepared to complete the objective at hand. And so if we aren't properly equipped, spiritual attacks can also hit us like an ankle sprain did me. I was not prepared. And so you too, Harvest and kids and youth, the spiritual battle is very real for you as well. our spiritual, the spiritual world, the spiritual battle, our spiritual enemy, this is all very real as well, something we very much need to be prepared for and be aware of. And so the question is, how do I equip myself for battle? What can I do to be prepared? And so today we're going to look at three ways for us to get ready for the spiritual battle. First, we're going to suit up. If you want to pretend you're putting on a jacket, we're going to suit up, we're going to look up, and we're going to team up. Suit up, look up, and team up. As we dive into our passage, we're in Ephesians 6, verses 13 through 20. What's pretty cool is that our students, we've been in Ephesians for months now. This will be our second to last sermon in here. And so we've been talking about the first three chapters, very heavy theology about who God is, our position in Christ, our place, all these things about how what Jesus has done has changed the body of Christ. It's incredible. His sacrifice on the cross and what that means for us. And then for chapters 4 through 6, it's been very heavy practical means of what the code of conduct for believers is supposed to be, for those who have placed their faith in Christ, what that means, what's expected of us, what should we be looking towards and striving, what does it mean for our relationships, who we are, how we act, what we say, what we think, what's in here, what goes out there. And so we get to this text, and he's like, finally, brothers, let us stand strong, let us equip for this battle that we are in. And so in Ephesians 6, verse 13, it says this: "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as for shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." Let's pray, and then we will dive straight in. Lord God, thank you for this day. God, thank you for this passage. God, thank you that we get to be here this morning. God, we ask that you would open up our hearts, our minds, our ears to hear what you have to say, Lord. God, I pray that we don't walk out of here unaffected. God, would you help us to listen, to be challenged, to walk out of here with just a plan and a way for how we can better follow you, Lord, and be aware of the spiritual battle around us. We love you and we praise you in your holy name. Amen. So we're going to talk about suiting up and looking up and teaming up. But first, I have some setup before we get started. In verses 10 through 12, he started by saying, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." And so this is what our students listened to and we talked about on Wednesday night of this past week. But a brief summary: we talked about being strong, this need to stand firm and be strong in him, that the Lord strengthens us. This Greek imperative to put on is that we approach the Lord, submit to him, and he strengthens us. The farmer is to prepare his field, but he can't control the rain or the crops actually growing. He trusts the Lord and what only he can do. And so this command and warning is because there is a very real spiritual battle, a very real spiritual enemy with very real hatred for you and your pursuit of Christ. And so we recognize this because it's so easy to be unaware. It's so easy to just coast. But to know this and to say, "God, how would you have me walk this spiritual life ready and prepared?" We learn that our enemy is organized. It is massive and it is intimidating and scary. Our enemy is powerful. I don't say that to give praise to our enemy, but to raise awareness for it, that this is what stands against us. This is the enemy that would push us away from us pursuing righteousness, to pursue our Lord, to distract us, to deter us, whatever that might be. Part of what he was saying here too is to be aware of Satan, the adversary or enemy. In 1 Peter 5, it says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." And so believers are not to go out and seek a fight to attack Satan in that regard. We're to stand firm. To stand firm in the ground that Christ has won. And so I say this not to give praise, but I want to remind an important note. We serve an infinitely more powerful and wonderful God. This is our enemy, yes. And he is stronger than us, yes. But if our God is for us, who can stand against us? And so I say this to raise awareness, but that we then recognize as we say, God, how can I suit up? What does it mean to look up? How do I team up? God, I don't know. We recognize we are approaching Yahweh, an infinitely powerful God who is for us. We have given our life to this is the God who is greater than our enemy. The enemy's end is already written. It will happen. It's done. We're to cling closely to our Savior and King and to stand firm. As we approach today, this passage is written to a group of believers in Ephesus. And so in the same way, this challenge to suit up and look up and team up is to those who have placed their faith in Christ. And so if that's you in this room, hear that challenge and have that heart check of God, am I doing this? God, where am I at? Where's my awareness at in this? If you have not yet placed your faith in Christ, hear this for the challenge that it is. Even for you, there is a very real spiritual world, a very real spiritual battle, a very real spiritual enemy that very much wants you to not know Jesus and that he has saved you from sin. I ask that we fight through that veil and say, Jesus, man, what would it mean to follow you? To ask that question, consider Jesus and his love for you. But first, we must suit up. In our battle and our need to stand firm, we suit up. And so as we talk about the armor of God, in verse 13, it says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand firm." Having done all, is that not, a heart check there? Am I doing all to stand firm? Have I done all? Will I do all? Can I walk out of here committed to do all to stand firm? And so as we talk about these armor pieces, just ask the Lord God, which of these am I desperately in need to equip? And spoiler alert, we need to equip all of them. But which of these, I don't even know what that means for my life. And so, because I know you've seen them already, in the seat back in front of you, or if you're in the front row, it's these. There should be a little plastic bag. It's either on the left or right side. I had a hard time. But they're somewhere in the back of the seat in front of you, or on your seat, there is a coin. You can take it out of the plastic bag. It will come out of its plastic covering as well for an actual coin. This is just a cool thing for you to take. I'll have a challenge for you at the end. But it has the armor of God on it. It has a challenge on the other side to put on the whole armor of God and to pray always. And so if you need a visual cue, just keep this in mind. It's just pretty cool. So that is yours to take home and to keep and to have. But first, our challenge is to stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Now, unlike us, this is not a thin leather belt. This is more like a weightlifting belt, a thick belt to put on first before you put on the rest of your armor. This is what the breastplate would hang on. It's what our sword would hang on. This was an essential piece as you suit up. It was the first thing that went on. In our need to stand firm and equip the armor, our need to be rooted in what is true is so necessary. We think back to Hebrews 5:14 as we talked about our need to grow up, to mature. It says we need to grow in our discernment of what is godly and what is not, to recognize what is true and what is not, to root ourselves in Scripture, in the Lord, and what is true, and against against Satan, against the master of lies, this master manipulator, how important is truth? Say, God, what does your word say? Who do you say that I am? What do you say about my future? Well, what do you say that I'm supposed to be, how I'm supposed to conduct myself? Where have I led myself astray, or where's the enemy led me astray? We must equip and put on truth, and this happens by being rooted in Scripture, surrounding ourselves with Him and what is of Him and in Him. And this is an essential piece as we put on the rest of our armor as well. Our second thing, the breastplate of righteousness. And of course, this is an essential piece that goes on. It covers all of your vital organs, your heart and lungs, spleen. I have no clue. It's somewhere. It's all in here. Covers your back. Great. But primarily the front here. And so in our protecting our heart, we can think of this as sanctifying, righteous living. It's a believer living out this redeemed life. So what Jesus has done in and through us, taking this challenge of what he's already talked about in Ephesians, for what our conduct should be as believers, to live this out. And in doing though, in doing so, it instills in us this, it protects us against the lies of the enemy. It by living out this thing, it continues to root in us what it means to follow him, to have our identity and protection in him. So yes, it protects us. It also witnesses to others in how we live and live out this sanctified life. A side note, on the battlefield as well, The chess piece was also a pretty important part in identifying who was on your side and who isn't. It often had an emblem or something. So this is a matter of identity, of protecting our heart by living out this life that we have surrendered to Christ. Next, we are to equip shoes, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And so in this text, as we are challenged to stand firm, to be planted in the right things. Are these Roman soldiers, as Paul is writing this, and probably chained to a Roman soldier, they had these sandals that had little cleats on the bottom of them, that on a bad battlefield, this would allow them to stand firm, that no matter what terrain that they were on, no matter how they had to move or shuffle or lunge, whatever it might be, they could stand and walk confidently. And so in this same way, we must stand and root ourselves in and on the gospel of peace. And it's worth noting and asking, what are we standing on? Where does our confidence lie? What are we rooted in? If it is not the gospel of peace, then can we say that we are sure-footed in our approach? We must next equip the shield of faith. In verse 16, it says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And so a Roman soldier's shield, it would have been overlaid with linen and leather as well, so that whenever fiery arrows were shot, they could intercept them and it wouldn't burn up. It wouldn't destroy the shield, but it would absorb that. And the shield is also incredibly important because, yes, you have a chess piece, very important and great, but the shield protects that as well in case an arrow finds a chink in the armor or anything else. So this is an essential thing to equip and have on. And so these fiery arrows by the enemy, these are things like distortions and temptations and lies and manipulations, things that come your way that's like, man, Is this what I'm supposed to be doing? It's these shots like, God, I need you, Lord. And so in those moments, as these lies, as these temptations come your way, that we lean and trust in the promises of God, that we have faith, that we say, God, I don't know what exactly you're doing here, Lord, but I know what you've done. God, I'm going to stand confidently in who you are, to trust in what you have promised, to trust in your son, Jesus, to trust what you have done, what you have saved me from, that what you have is better. God, I trust in you, and in this shield we are protected from these things. We must next equip the helmet of salvation in verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation in protecting our minds, our heads, our minds. We must remind ourselves of the salvation we have in Jesus. We remind ourselves of the great object of our faith, which is Christ himself. We remind ourselves that because of Jesus, we have been eternally saved from sin's penalty. We are being saved from sin's power, and we will one day be saved from sin's presence. What a promise that is. And as again, sin, temptation, anxiety, whatever mental battles wage war, that we, in those moments, we run to what is true. I think of Colossians 3, just that first, those first four verses. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated on high, that one day we will be restored with him, for we have died and our life is hidden with Christ in God. That is where we turn our mind. So as the world wages war, as temptations ebb and flow, as the enemy flings lies, we remind ourselves of the truth of what Jesus did on the cross for us, for our salvation in him and in him alone, that our confidence and strength come from him. Or Philippians 4:8, that it talks about anxiety, about giving our minds over to the Lord. And it says, think about these things, whatever is honorable, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is excellent, whatever is worthy of praise, think about these things. What you've heard and seen and received in me, do these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Next, we must equip the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This word, rhema, is usually, it refers to a spoken word as well. This is our weapon, the word of God. And so this is a challenge for us to read it, to memorize it, to meditate on it, to pray on it, to proclaim it, for scripture to be our life in a daily and hourly pursuit. This is what is on our hearts, protecting our minds. Does light not dispel darkness? Does the truth of his word, is this not light? And so let us use this and equip ourselves with it. Our need to grow in our engagement and familiarity with the word is immense. And so here are our armor pieces, all here. And these are such important things as we seek to stand firm. What an important challenge. And so which of these, though we need to equip all of them, we're not supposed to be one armor piece people. Well, I'm great at the sword bit, but the faith bit, I don't know. No. As war is waged among us, man, we are to equip all of them. And so what is keeping me from properly and intentionally equipping the armor of God? And so you may ask, well, hey, these armor pieces are awesome, but how do we do that? What is the process of actually equipping the armor of God? And so next, we are to look up. As we've suited up now, in order to suit up, we have to look up. In verse 18, it says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And so we're given two challenges here, to pray at all times, that this is a necessary piece in equipping the armor. This is how we equip the armor. The armor comes from our relationship with Christ through the blessing of the Holy Spirit, that he is who equips us and protects us. So we pray, we ask, we think about in James 1, whoever lacks wisdom, all we must do is ask and pray, and our God who gives generously and without reproach, we submit to the Lord, and we ask for him to equip us. We must also keep alert. Battles ebb and flow, but we are to be ready at a moment's notice to just submit to the Lord, to be ready. God, would you help me? God, would you protect me? God, would you sustain me in this time? Would you help me equip these things to be rooted in what is true, to remember your promises, God? God, would you help me remind me of your word, Lord? as I was stewing on this, and our students heard this past week, but to think about the Lord's Prayer as well. It says, to pray then like this, an example of how our prayer life should be. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. To recognize the Lord's authority, his position and power, who we are praying to, who we have surrendered our life to, our Father in heaven. Next it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We surrender our own will to his. We say, God, I've surrendered my life to you, my ways, my heart, my pursuits, my will, my life. God, I recognize that it is yours. God, not my will, but yours be done. Give us this day our daily bread. We surrender. God, would you sustain me? Would you give me what I need for today? God, whatever battle is being waged right now, and this may be a daily thing, an hourly thing, a minutely thing, say, God, would you give me this daily bread? God, I need what only you can give me. Give me exactly what I need, Lord, and as you will. Give us this day our daily bread, a humble request and submission to the Lord for him to provide protection and strength against our enemy, to forgive us our debts as we've also forgiven our debtors. We ask for forgiveness. We repent. God, if there's a way that I've strayed, if there's a way that I've lost sight of what it means to walk in you, would you forgive me, Lord? I'm sorry. And get back on the narrow path. As we've also forgiven our debtors, a charge to forgive others as well. And what a heart position. And say, God, would you forgive me as I've forgiven others as well? Ooh, what a challenge to realize what Jesus has saved us from and how we are to forgive others as well. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. A plea to equip us against the fight against the enemy, or in the fight against the enemy, the darkness of this world. And so, do we have a regular rhythm in our life where we can submit to the Lord? You're like, man, I'm really bad at prayer. I don't know when or how. My best advice is to start and to pray then like this, to submit to the Lord, to recognize his authority, to surrender, submit to your will, ask him to supply you, to repent of your sins, ask for forgiveness, but also to ask him to lead you, to guide you, to be rooted in what is true and to equip the armor as well. And so if there's not a daily rhythm or an hourly rhythm or a reminder you have to surrender to the Lord, to look up in order to equip this armor, let us set that in place now. And our last thing, we have suited up, we've looked up, we must now team up. In the second half of verse 18, it says, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. And so, yes, there is an individual fight that we all have. We are all individually on this spiritual battlefield, but we are also in this fight collectively as well. I think back to 1 Peter 5, it says, resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And I think about a Roman soldier's shield as well. Yes, it protects you, but it was also meant to combine with other shields, to protect each other, to protect each other's sides and backs. And so in this charge to pray for each other, let us go above and beyond in both asking for prayer. Man, would you please join me in this fight? I am overwhelmed. I am lonely. I don't know how to fight this. Brother, can you help me? I know that you're farther along in this. Would you help me? Or man, if you're side to side with me, would you please just help me in this fight? Would you pray for me? Or there might be somebody in your heart that you can just go and pray for, whether they know about it or not. If you go and physically pray with somebody or pray over somebody or just pray by yourself for somebody else. What an important thing in this battlefield, in this fight. And even Paul is saying, man, would you pray for me that I would have the right words to boldly proclaim the gospel, that I'm an ambassador in chains, but that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. What a prayer request. What a thing that we can emulate as well. And so is there somebody today that either you can pray for silently or in person? Or is there a need for you to reach out to somebody and say, man, can you pray for me? I need this desperately. I'm lost in this fight. We are to suit up, we are to look up, and we are to team up. What an amazing challenge just to recognize the spiritual world around us, that we have a very real spiritual enemy, a very real spiritual battle, but also a very real God and King who sent his son to die for you, that by placing our faith in him, we are freed from our debt from sin, that we can place our have our life and eternity with him, that we are given the Holy Spirit can seek him, that we are strengthened and equipped for this battle. Man, what a beautiful promise. And so my last challenge to you is with our coin. Either my challenge to you is if you'd like to keep this coin, then keep it and put it somewhere that you can't ignore it every day. If it's by your toothbrush, hopefully if you brush your teeth every day, please do that. Or twice a day, hopefully. It's even better. Or wherever you wash your hands or cook, or if it's on your car dashboard or at work in front of your lamp or wherever your mouse is, I don't know. You know. If you want to place it somewhere, you're like, oh, man, put on the armor of God and pray always. What a reminder that this might be. Or if you're like, okay, or you give this to somebody else, somebody that might be on your heart, be like, hey, I'd like to hand this to my younger brother or to my son, to my daughter, to father, to a coworker at work. Be like, hey, I was thinking of you. This is a really cool thing, and I'd like to tell you about why this is important. What a cool thing that might be. The choice is yours, but either way, let us be obedient and recognizing the battle around us and our need to equip the armor, to submit to him, and also to be in this fight together as well. Let's pray.